Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning. What a beautiful day. Oh, the drive-in.
Was it beautiful?
Oh, yes. And I heard birds this morning. And, you know, that's my favorite sound.
Yeah.
Open the door, and there they are. Oh, spring is here.
Love okay. It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like a nice, beautiful morning when you're driving into work. Even when I came in a little early, I actually had to stop for gas. But, oh, it was so beautiful. There's no traffic.
And you can see.
Yeah. And there's light.
Yes,
there
is
light.
And the sun is, you know, different colors in the sky.
Yes.
You can kind of appreciate them, shades of whites and blues.
Oh, so, so nice. So.
And I had a little raccoon family crossing the trail in front of me on my
mind. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. About, I was out about 6:15 this morning, and there was, two raccoons ran across the trail in front of me, and then I got up to where they crossed, and there was a third one standing there just watching me, waiting for me to pass so he
could cross.
So,
smart, huh?
Yeah. So I stopped and waved him on past, but he wouldn't go. So I walked on, went, and looked back, and he crossed behind me.
So. You need one of those raccoon crossing signs, Dr. Mixon.
That's right.
Next time you're on the, you just kind of set them on the trail for people.
Well, no, you have to train the raccoons to know they can cross first.
This is where you cross.
Like, you know, the ducks now, they don't wait for you. They just go. You wait for them.
That's right. The ducks trundle on across.
But they're little ducklings in tow. Yes.
Well, that just tells you raccoons are smarter.
Yes.
I haven't seen any baby ducklings yet this year.
Yet.
No,
okay.
No, it's too early for them. They're still eggs. Yeah.
Okay.
But, the raccoons and the parent ducks are out. And, of course, rabbits are all over the place, you know.
Yes, but spring is here, and another beautiful day. Tomorrow is Easter, so it's supposed to be beautiful and wonderful, so
that'd
looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, believe it or not, this is not the Weather Channel. It is Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, and I'm going to go ahead and give you that phone number right now, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. If you did not get in on our show last week, then call early. Get in the queue so that we don't miss you. Sometimes folks wait until the last 10 minutes of the show. We don't want anybody to be left out. So here's that number again with your questions for the doctors today about your health, about aging, about some new symptoms you have, or you know what? We even like keeping, getting updates too with folks that call and saying getting ready to do this procedure and you've talked to the doctors and now you're on the other side and you're healing. That's always encouraging too for other listeners getting ready to prepare for that. So 800-465-8770. All right, doctors, do we have a medical update? I was reading somewhere that somebody had a big old thing on monkeypox. I'm like, what? What?
Yeah,
that's not even a thing now, right?
Well, I mean, it's still a thing.
It's a thing, it's, but only for a little.
It's a disease for, you know, a small segment of the population.
Okay.
You know, swapping body fluids in places that are a bit unusual.
Okay. Yeah. So, but it's not making headlines and news.
No.
Somebody just caught something.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Right.
Wanted to scare people.
No, the biggest negative trend I'm seeing is hospitals adding facility fees.
Mm. Oh.
You know, there's, for a long time, hospitals have been buying up doctors' practices.
That's right, they have.
And, you know, we've known, for instance, if your doctor did an EKG and he owns his own practice, your cost is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about $150 to $170 for the EKG and interpretation. If a hospital buys your doctor's practice, and the same doctor does the same EKG in the same office with the same machine, the cost is closer to $300.
Yeah.
Because hospitals are allowed to charge more than the doctors are. So if the doctor's practice is now owned by a hospital, price is pretty much double.
Wow.
But now hospitals have started adding what's called a facility fee on top of your bill.
Ugh.
Your EKG bill will still be $250 to $300, but there will be another $300 to $350 facility fee added on top.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the facility fees are now usually about the same as the physician fees. So whatever the physician fee is, you can figure it's going to double when they add the facility fee on top. And the doctor fee itself is twice what it would have been if it was a private physician doing it in his own office.
Right. But also, Jerry, shall we point out that the doctor's not getting the extra money?
No. Where is that going?
No, that's all going to the hospital.
Yeah. All going to the hospital.
That's why they're buying up doctors' offices, is that the doctor still makes what the doctor makes, but then the hospital, you know, gets to now triple what the doctor gets.
Yeah.
Because they've doubled the doctor's fee, and then they've added the facility fee, which adds up to both equal to the doctor fee and the previous.
Oh, so now the patient ends up paying more.
Four times. A fourfold, a 400% increase. Yeah.
If you're thinking your bill's pretty high, it is.
Yes. And so what I am recommending, before you go to a doctor or when you select a physician, ask the office, is this office owned by a hospital? And do you charge a facility fee?
Okay.
Those two questions. And if they charge a facility fee, run, don't walk to a different office. If they are owned by a hospital, assume you're going to pay twice what you would pay if they were not owned by a hospital, and you ought to seriously look around for a doctor who owns his own practice or is in a group practice that is not controlled by a hospital.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was actually a few weeks ago looking at a social media post, similar scenario. Somebody was asking physicians to help make a decision, work for a hospital versus own my own practice. You know, the work for a hospital is everything's taken care of. Own your own practice is autonomy.
Yes.
And the question was, which is better? And nobody gave a good answer because it's your decision, right?
Sure.
But in the end, hospitals, the reason physicians are choosing to do that is because of the convenience.
Yeah, well, and not only that, but when the hospital comes in and buys your practice, they pay you about 3 years' salary. Okay? So whatever you have earned in the last 3 years, you get that in a lump sum, and you continue to get that along with pay raises based on the economy, etc. So, you know, you get a nice hunk for your retirement fund.
Attractive proposition.
And you don't have to worry, and you don't have to worry about the business aspects of the practice anymore. You just show up to work, you do your job, you go home, and you're done.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 3 years worth of income in one lump sum, plus continued income, plus less responsibility and less worry. It's very attractive to physicians to sell out.
Yeah. Does everybody get that? I wasn't aware that people
most do.
That.
Yeah, they buy it. Yeah. Now, if you're a doctor who works for a group, the group gets that. It doesn't mean that it goes down to all the doctors.
Divvied out. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, and then, you know, if they've been out there struggling for a while on their own and now this proposition comes along, you want to kind of reduce the headache.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend, she's in another state and she has her own practice, and she commented once that she has such a good team. She said, I was so fortunate that my office manager is lovely. My team at work is like my extended family, and I would never close my practice because of them.
Yeah.
And it was nice to hear her say that, but I can see why somebody would say that.
Sure.
Because sometimes you don't have a good team. You know, people...
Say you're now in your late 50s, early 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're looking at retirement in the next 10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
That 3 years' income in a lump sum is,
of course it is,
a significant addition to your retirement plan.
Yes, absolutely it is. Oh, absolutely it is. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that explains why.
I mean, a lot of doctors, and even in their practicing years, they're still in debt from medical school. Mm-hmm. They're still paying off their medical school loans and college loans, and you know, it's not rosy, and they're working really hard. And then a lot of them I know are working after hours too, trying to keep up with charting and dictations because they can't keep up with it during the workday.
Yep.
And then, you know, they're now getting, with the way electronic medical system is set up, patients can send in inquiries online, and so you're obliged to answer those. Your team cannot answer for you, so you have to sit down, take a look, and respond.
Yep.
All right. Wow. The world of doctors and hospitals and fees. So if you're wondering why you have double the fee on your hospital bill or your doctor bill, it could be that facility fee that we're starting to see. Okay. All right, doctors, are you ready to take your first phone call? We can dive
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay, we are actually headed to Florida right now.
Oh, we are?
Benz.
I didn't know you were taking me to Florida.
Yes. Benz is on the line. Good morning, Benz.
Hello, Benz.
Hello. Yeah, my name is Benz, B-E-N-Z.
Uh-huh. Got it. Love that, Benz.
As in Mercedes, yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, sir.
Love that.
Yes, thank you so much. Before I forget, thank you so much for all the work you guys do and all the information you provide to all of us. I've been listening for years, and I'm a patient, and I really do appreciate it. I've really benefited a lot. So thank you all for what you do.
Thank you, Benz.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been in Florida then? You were up here originally when you became a patient, or have you always been a remote patient for us?
Yes, I've always been in Washington, grew up in eastern Washington, moved to Seattle area in 1986, and in 2021 I moved to Florida, in Palmetto, which is about 45 minutes south of Tampa.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that's a pretty area, actually.
It is.
Yes.
Beautiful. It's like night and day compared to Washington. It's just, I know I'm biased, but, you know, I didn't know it was going to be like.
You know, my fantasy is someday to have a place in you know, West Coast, northern part of the West Coast of Florida, up towards Clearwater or someplace.
Mm.
You know, but my wife
25 minutes south of Clearwater.
Yeah, my wife adores Kirkland.
Oh yeah.
So I would have to pry her out of here with a crowbar.
You know, next year January and February, just take her for a little break. She might change her
there
mind.
There we go, just for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, how can we help you today, Benz?
Well, I'm calling regarding kidney function. I have called on this before. I just wanted to know from you all, because I do see counsel with Dr. Laura Jimenez.
Mm-hmm.
My creatinine has, well, it took an uptick this last time I had a blood on the 7th of March.
Uh-huh.
And it went up to 1.8.
Ooh. Wow, okay. Way too high.
Yeah.
And so originally, well, back in like 2019 or so, I was a little bit lower, probably like 1.3. And then just in the last year or so, it started
rising. Okay.
Well,
yeah, which,
right.
Tell you, we have to take a break. She's She's giving me the break signal.
That's right. So,
hold on. We'll be right back and we'll finish up with this call, okay?
That's right. All right, Benz, thank you for calling. Stay right there. We're going to talk about kidney function and why the doctors went, oh, when he gave him the, is it the creatinine? Is that right? Or did I just add extra verbs?
Oh, creatinine is right.
Creatinine. Okay, we're going to talk kidneys in just a moment. And if you have a question for the doctors, get on the line early, just like Benz did. Here's that number to call right now. Phone lines are open, 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Stay right there. Field. I like the catching position. I was a catcher.
You were a catcher. Right?
I like that. Yeah. Oh, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, and I'm here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We are live in the studio, ready to take your questions and talk with you at 800-465-8770. The lines are open. And we're talking with Benz in Florida about those kidneys.
Okay, Benz, you were running about 1.3 at one point. How old were you when you were in that range?
Let's see, 69.
Okay, so fairly young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were already getting abnormally high values when you were only in your late 60s. And now it is, yeah, and it's continuing to rise. You know, you kind of fit the definition of chronic kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an acute problem, but it sounds like your function is declining over time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Benz, are you diabetic?
No.
You're not. Okay. And your sugar is pretty well controlled?
Yes, I would say so. My A1C was 5.1 this time.
Okay.
Oh, no, very good then.
Mm. Very good.
Yeah, the reason she's asking is we see this disease most commonly in diabetics or people with significant insulin resistance, but with those numbers, that's not you. So we have to look and say what else is going on to whack your kidneys. Any family history of kidney disease?
No, not that I'm aware of. As far as immediate siblings?
Uh-huh. So
no, not that.
All right. Okay.
One thing I wanted to mention, I don't know if it might help. I wonder if my blood pressure might start to be rising because I notice I get throbbing, like my head throbbing after I eat.
Uh-huh.
Other times, sometimes I feel great. I just right now I feel great. Normally in the mornings I feel good. Start eating and throughout the day, then I feel like I don't feel right. I feel off. And I don't know if that's kidneys.
Well, it certainly can. Yeah, blood pressure and kidney disease are often closely related. But you've never been diagnosed as high blood pressure?
No.
Okay.
This last when I went to the clinic on the March 7th, I was a little high with 140 or 80, maybe something like that.
Okay, yeah, that is high. That's high enough to start some gentle treatment, at least.
Yeah.
And there are some medications, the ACE inhibitors or the ACE receptor blockers.
Mm-hmm.
That both tend to help preserve kidney function. So, you know, we need to get you into a physician there, and preferably I'd like you to go see a nephrologist.
I am seeing a nephrologist.
Good.
I see about every 6 months or so.
Good. Okay. So they're monitoring your kidney function and doing your GFR. But he hasn't suggested anything for your blood pressure. So.
Well, no, because this has just been recent.
Okay.
My blood pressure It's usually in the 120s.
All right. Well, and 120s, we don't want to lower it anymore. All right.
120s, to, and then 120 over 78, right in
okay.
there.
All right. Those are...
I did purchase a... You told me to purchase a blood pressure...
good idea.
A cuff, yes.
Good idea.
I've been monitoring that because actually I'm in Washington right now visiting family. But prior to doing that for a month, I was monitoring every day my blood pressure, and I was in my 120s. I did get 140, 130, but the rest of them have been 120, 122, 119.
Okay. Yeah, and we're looking for your average. We don't get excited about a single jump.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. And then what did you do for work?
Let's see. For about 22 years, I worked for Department of Corrections as a parole officer. And then for 9 years, I worked for U.S. Customs as a customs officer at the port of Tacoma.
Okay.
And Apple.
All right. Yeah, I don't hear anything there that...
No.
See, I'm looking for heavy metal intoxication. I'm looking for toxins, pesticides, chemical exposures that might have damaged your kidneys.
Yeah.
But I don't hear anything in those work.
Well, Benz, do you know what might be contributing to your kidney issues, the high creatinine level?
I don't know.
You don't? Okay.
The doctor, when I first met him... told me, he says, well, you're an enigma. He says, well, you know, your blood pressure is great. Your body is weak, but you're in great shape. You're not diabetic. And so he wasn't quite sure. So the only thing I can think of is maybe I'm just getting older. Maybe my body is just not as strong as it used to be. So I have been working out Monday through Friday.
Good.
I work out.
Okay.
You don't smoke, right? You're not a smoker.
No,
you don't drink too much alcohol. You know, one other thing to think about.
Sometimes, excuse me for interrupting. I will drink more than I should. I've been cutting back, but I think now I'm going to have to really focus on.
Yeah. You know, alcohol is a toxin. Yeah, it's a poison. So we want you to stay away from alcohol as much as you practically can, okay?
I think what I'll do is... It was as much as possible, and then our next, because I'm going to be up here until June, and when I go again in June, I'll see if that was a contributor to the rise.
Yeah, that's reasonable. The other thing I'm thinking about is, back in the olden days before 2010, when we were still allowed to use growth hormone in Washington State. I had several patients that when they went on growth hormone with their kidney disease, their creatinine improved significantly, and they did very well. And then when we had to stop the growth hormone in 210, because our state suddenly decided it was bad, their kidney function started going rapidly downhill without it, and they ended up on dialysis.
Uh-huh.
You know, thank you, state, for trying to kill my patients. You know, you're in Florida, where it can be used. I mean, everywhere except in America, except Washington, just about. And in fact, I am going to be 2 weeks from yesterday. I'm going to be meeting with a couple of doctors down there that we may be able to work out an association with, so that our patients could visit with them once a year and get their growth hormone prescriptions so that my people who really need it can get it instead of having to suffer the lack here in Washington State.
But Jerry, in the meantime, he can use some Orlin.
Yes. Well, he can.
And he's here right now. And
at his age, it usually takes 3 to 6 months to even start working because his somatotrophs are pretty well toasted by this age.
Okay. The other thing, Benz, is if you're taking any non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications, over-the-counter things, be careful about those. You don't want them. And do not add too much protein in your diet. With a high creatinine, you want to reduce protein intake in the diet. Your diet should really be, green leafy vegetables, or like a Mediterranean type of a diet. Those are very healthy diets. Limit too much dairy and stuff like that as well.
And the other thing is, in your supplement list, are you using creatine by any chance?
Am I using creatine? No.
Creatine. Okay. Okay, good. All right. Well, yeah, it's a supplement. A lot of guys that are working out and trying to stay in shape will use creatine as a supplement to increase muscle mass and strength, but it can raise creatinine. Creatine can raise creatinine. So if you were on creatine, I was going to tell you to stop. All right. Yeah, I agree with your nephrologist. You're a bit of an enigma.
I did want to mention, since you asked me what I did do, I did work in Hanford. You guys probably remember Hanford when they
were... Oh, yes, Hanford, sure, yeah. Yeah, radiation that exposure.
Right, and I did have to dress up in, the suit and whatnot in a number of places that I worked at. And I worked there for, I'm going to say, about 3 years. That was in, let's say, 77 to 1980. Right in there.
All right. Okay. If we were looking at a cancer as opposed to chronic kidney disease, I might be able to connect it to your Hanford days. But I'm not aware of chronic kidney disease being an adverse effect from that kind of low-grade radiation that a lot of the Hanford workers got.
Okay.
So, all right.
But I mentioned.
Yep. Yeah. We need the best history we can get. Mm. All right. Well.
And you might want to tell your nephrologist that as well.
Yes. Make sure he also knows, because he may have knowledge about that I don't, because that's not really in my field. All right.
Okay, so could I ask you then, growth hormones, is that something that maybe I should bring up? Because I'll be seeing him in June when I get back, or I think I have an appointment on June 18th or 19th.
Aging gracefully is a terrible option. Learn to live to your fullest potential. It's a lot more fun. Call now with your questions at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. And stay tuned for more of the show.
Hi there. Good morning. Oh, what a great day it's going to be. We might even see some sunshine. That's what I hear rumors of. So
I thought it was going to be cold.
Cold and sunny.
Cold and sunny today.
Which is just fine, too. The sun makes a big difference.
That's right. So I've got my flowers on, my cherry blossoms, hoping and wishing for some sunshine. But we might get some snow in some areas in the latter
part
of
the
week.
That is true, too.
Yes. So welcome, winter. We're in the heat of it. So, welcome to Leading
welcome
Edge.
Welcome, winter. We're in the
welcome
heat of
winter.
It.
Oh, wait. How did I say that? We're in the thick of it.
That's right. In the thick.
I didn't have coffee. I stopped to get coffee. I waited behind a bunch of cars. I'm like, there are never cars at 5:30 in the morning. What's up with this? And then I get up there and they said, sorry, we can't do the coffee. We're cleaning the machine. Yeah. So,
well, we have coffee here.
I said, I'll get a giant ice water, please. So thank you. Yeah. Well, Dr. Samira Umat in the studio, Dr. Jerry Mixon, how was your week? Anything exciting that you need to share with us?
No, the really exciting stuff is not fit
not
for a
shareable
family show.
Yeah.
Well, I volunteered him to be a babysitter, which he laughed at me. And then he came in early and went to lift weights before the show started. So, yeah, he's just
me.
Just you.
And no coffee needed. He's probably has
and
his
no
tea.
Coffee needed, yes.
I have tea. I had my two coffees.
Okay.
My wife fixes me a small black coffee with breakfast, and then after breakfast, she brings me a large mug with a cappuccino.
Oh.
And then I sit and read the Wall Street Journal whilst drinking my cappuccino, and then I go out and hit the trail.
He's just spoiled. I will tell you, I do not do that to my husband. I love him dearly, but I do not serve him anything.
Mine was snoring in bed.
But yeah, but we do take care of each other.
Yes, yes.
You know, my wife is kind of she's a strange mix. On the one hand, she is the bravest, most adventurous woman I have ever met. Okay. I mean, you know, she left China at 20 and spent 3 years on a gambling ship going round and round Asia. And then she went off to Europe to work, where she got a motorcycle and traveled all across both Western and Eastern Europe. Now,
wow.
you know, a woman charging across the Czech Republic
yeah.
on a motorcycle. So, I mean, these were some of the things that interested me about I had to get to know this girl. You know, at the same time, when she first came to live with me, now, I had been single for 17 years. And so I can take care of myself. I'm used to picking up after myself and doing my own dishes.
Or leaving it where it is.
No. I never did. I kept my house neat.
Yeah.
I did have a housekeeper who came in every other week just to do dusting and vacuuming
yeah,
and stuff.
But that's cleaning awesome. Stuff.
Yeah. That was mine.
Yeah.
But anyway, the first meal we shared in my home, I got up from the table, I picked up my dishes,
uh-huh.
and I carried them to the sink and put them in, and I heard this little sob behind me, and I turned around, and she was standing there with tears running down her cheek.
Oh.
And I said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And she said, "But that's my job."
Oh, I can imagine her big brown eyes just like, oh.
And so this fierce, adventurous, brave woman considers a big part of her job is taking care of me and seeing to it that I am happy.
Well, also, you know.
So, he's pretty happy.
I am pretty happy.
You know, yeah, you are. And also, you know, the difference in home and outside of home, and the home being my territory, and I'm
yes.
responsible for making it the way I want it.
Yes.
And a lot of women like that. They mm-hmm. like the colors they like, the decor they like, the light they like.
And the house is her fiefdom completely.
I mean,
she picks the paint, she picks the fabric, she picks the furniture, she picks everything in the house. In fact, when we first got together, she did lay down a rule for me, and she said, "Jerry, I know you love what you do, and I know you travel a lot." And she said, "Take whatever time you need to conquer the world, but when you do come in my door,"
she
was the possessive "my door," "I don't want to see an impassive doctor's face, and I don't want to hear a businessman's voice. I want my Jerry in this house."
Mm-hmm.
And so the rule is I don't do work from home. You know, we have a little home office, but that's for her and Ivory to use. I do no work from home. That's just the rule.
Lucky. No, that's really
good.
Nice. You know, yeah, you take the jacket off, take the shoes off at the doorstep, leave
that's
them
right.
over there.
There you
and
go, and you are now the husband
now
and the dad.
In his household,
role.
The shoes
yeah.
stay in the garage.
Yes.
No shoes in the house.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah. No, we do the same.
I decorate and do all the house stuff.
Yeah.
Husband has the garage and his office.
Right.
Which isn't decorated, which drives me crazy. I'm like, okay, you just got to put a couple of things. Oh, no, it's my office. I'm like, okay, you're right.
You're
your office. Yes. He was a bachelor for many years before I got
yeah.
here. So, well, here we are, Leading Edge Medicine. Let me throw out that phone number in case you were waiting and wanting to be one of the first ones in today. That's always a good thing. 800-465-8770 is that number to get through. That's 800-465-8770 with your questions for Dr. Mixon or Dr. UMAP this morning. Why is that?
Yeah.
I need some raisins. The dancing raisins song.
That's right. The dancing
yeah.
raisins.
Hey. They would sing. They would dance.
You ever saw
a commercial.
That?
Okay. So she's Dr. UMAP's looking at me like, why do you want raisins?
Yeah.
The
she's
dancing
from India.
Raisin.
They must have been dates or something instead of raisins over there. I don't know.
Oh, yes. Leading Edge Medicine is here. Carl, give us a call back here at 800-465-8770. We want to get your questions, get you on the line. We had a little technical issue there, but we are back on. We can
can take your phone calls.
Drop us off.
Yes, 800-465-8770 is the number to call. Benz, if you have another question, we would love to talk to you too. All right, we are definitely into spring, and it seems like I'm just going to throw a topic out there. Weight loss, getting exercise, that type of thing is, you know, on a lot of folks' mind because they're either wanting to get ready for, you know, going out and wearing the shorts, or they just are going, all right, I want to do it. I want to get outside. I want to start moving.
Yep. And springtime is that time we start wanting to look better, you know, we're going to be showing off our bodies a little more.
Oh.
We don't have those great big heavy coats and hats and gloves.
What was that social media post somebody sent me? Let me see if I can remember. We went something like this. If only I could drop my body off at the gym and pick it up when it's ready.
Oh, I love that.
I like that one, yes.
Yeah, can we do that yet, Dr. Mixon?
No.
No.
Gyms are charging a lot more money, but they don't yet do a body drop-off.
Not yet.
And then the question, you know, would they give you a loner body of some sort?
Yes.
And what happens if you like the loner body better than your own?
That's true. And worse, if your spouse likes the loner body better than you do.
Keep it. I don't know.
That's right. And remember when the gyms, they did something about 25 years ago where you didn't have to do a thing. You went in and the machines did the work.
Yeah.
That lasted for just a minute.
Just till they got the machines paid for.
Yeah, I guess so. It's like, wait a minute. How does that work?
It doesn't.
Okay.
Which is why we don't see them. There is that machine right now that does the muscle stimulation.
Yes.
Okay.
That is true.
Sculpt or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting gizmo. They actually dial it up and all your muscles go into spasm.
Tight.
And, of course, those.
Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine. Listen to past programs by going to lmclinic.com. Call in now at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770.
Living on love.
All right. Oh, hopefully you've tuned back in. Had some more issues there with some stuff going over the top. But we're back with Leading Edge Medicine. Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We are live, and you can call us with your questions. We'd love to talk to you, 800-465-8770, talking about what to do about losing that extra weight as we look at spring and summer moving. Dieting, what's the best way? Doctors?
All of the above.
Okay, all of it. Get outside, move.
Yes. And you know, set a goal. Make it a fairly short-term goal.
Okay.
No longer than a month, but I actually go week by week when I'm trying to make some changes in my body. And, you know, you work on that week. If you have a bad week, that's okay. Back up, try again the next week.
Yeah.
So, but it's, you have to have achievable goals. You know, if you're carrying an extra 50 pounds.
And you want to lose it in a month.
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
And, you know, getting a six pack is not a reasonable goal if you've got a great big paunch and have not seen your knees in the last 10 years. So, you know, we have to be reasonable. You have to set it up. 1 to 2 pounds a week. Mm. 2 pounds a week means you're shorting 1,000 calories a day. You're burning 1,000 calories a day more than you're consuming. And so 500 calories a day is more reasonable, and that works out to about 1 pound a week. Now, I'm not saying eat only 500 calories a day. I'm saying you eat 500 calories a day less than you're burning.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And there's a big difference in that. And, you know, if you're not sure, well, longevity can help you.
Mm-hmm.
We do the InBody, and we do have a weight management program.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal here is to learn lifestyle habits that hopefully will sustain you for the long haul. And there are several options. And so if you're at all interested and you're not a longevity patient, give us a call. We will be able to help you and see what program fits best for your needs.
That's good. And we will give you that phone number right now, that number to call in and find out more about longevity, what we do here, and the weight management programs that we have that can help you be successful are 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's the number to call, 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website at lmclinic.com for more details as well. All right, we've got some phone calls to get to. John in Tacoma, he wants to talk about testosterone. Okay.
Hey.
Welcome, John. Good morning.
Hello, John.
Okay,
oops, John
Jesse.
Dropped. My goodness.
Let's go to Jesse.
Yes, this is Jesse speaking.
Hi.
Hello, Jesse.
Jesse. Welcome.
How can we help you, sir?
Yeah. Well, the weight loss thing, I kind of was thinking of a couple of questions while I was on the air, but what I really called about, you talk about off-label uses of medications, and I know you've discussed maybe seven or eight different ones, and I kind of take notes, but I got them scribbled all over the place, and I was wondering, if you could just sort of make a list of some of the, like, medications that help longevity that you prescribe off-label. And
We could.
You know.
Okay, let me clarify something, okay? The FDA doesn't really tell you what a drug can and cannot be used for. What the FDA does, when a drug company wants to bring a new drug on board, they have to provide scientific evidence that that drug is safe and effective for something. And so, they'll pick blood pressure or cholesterol or, you know, any number of problems. That tells the drug company what they're allowed to market the drug for. So if it's been approved for, say, cholesterol, that's all they can say for. If it also has an anti-inflammatory effect, they can't market it for that. Okay. If it also did something like,
help blood pressure or
kidney function or memory or anything else, they can't say that in their advertising, even though it may be true. They can only market it for those functions that it has been approved for by the FDA, because they're marketing it across state lines. But the FDA is not allowed to practice medicine. And the FDA is not allowed to tell doctors what they can and cannot prescribe a drug for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's not in their legal power. And so once a drug is on the market, doctors are then allowed to look at the scientific literature and use it for anything that they believe will help their patients.
Right. So remember, when a drug is first, a new drug comes out, there is limited experience with it. But over the course of time, when it's used to, say, lower cholesterol, we may find that patients using that drug is reporting better blood pressure or better mental function or whatever else. So then you can say, well, this drug can also help with that.
Right.
Therefore, it wasn't approved for this, but it's an off-label use for this.
That's right. So that's what off-label use means. These are what the doctors are actually using it for, as opposed to what the drug company is allowed to market it for.
Okay. Right. And I suppose they could add new indications and market it for them, but
they can.
The trials
but,
and everything.
Well, and that's expensive, yes. And so if enough doctors are using it for an off-label thing, they may go out then and try to collect the data and add a new indication later. But they don't really care much. They want to sell the drug.
Sure.
And if the doctors are using the drug, you know, they're just happy as can be.
I mean, it costs them more money to do the research. And if the doctors are using it anyway, why spend the money?
Right, yeah. You know, like most things in life, you follow the money, you'll get the right answers.
Yeah, I found that.
Okay. So, yes, there are many things we now know that are of benefit in a lot of ways were not originally thought of when the medication first came out. Metformin, for instance, was originally designed as a diabetes medicine. We used it for type 2 diabetes because it does make your body more sensitive to insulin, so that when you are making your own insulin, that insulin is more effective because the metformin makes your cells more receptive to using the insulin. But what we've now also found out is that metformin, type 2 diabetics on metformin, live longer, about 5 years longer, than people who don't take metformin. So, you know, typically diabetics die younger. Traditionally, and they die, you know, 3, 4, 5 years younger than the general population, because diabetes increases their risk of heart attacks and strokes and kidney failure and all sorts of other issues. But the metformin actually helped type 2 diabetics live longer than some non-diabetics. So we said, whoa, wait, what's going on here? So it turns out that metformin is also a sirtuin 1 inhibitor, which is the same thing that rapamycin does. Metformin just does it by, it's a SIRT1 inhibitor. And it, SIRT1. There's sirtuins 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Aha!
Right. Uh-huh. But sirtuin 1, okay, is on, has to do with metabolic activity. And by inhibiting SIRT1 at least one day a week, we find that it has extended the lifespan of every animal we've ever tested it on. And so, so rapamycin is now being used as an anti-aging drug, and yet it is approved by the FDA for use in transplants. It inhibits the rejection of transplants. So if you have to have somebody else's lungs put in you, along with the immune suppressants, they will put you on rapamycin. And it turns out that people that are using rapamycin with their immune modulators don't get cancer as often as other people. So it lowers your risk of cancer, and it helps you to live longer. These are two very important things, right?
That is true.
Yeah. And so the interesting thing is that rapamycin is generally used only once a day. Metformin, as the other SIRT1 inhibitor, works when you use it every day. So metformin once a week. I'm sorry, metformin every day, rapamycin once a week. You know, another good example is the ED drugs. Things like Cialis and Viagra. Okay, again, they were originally designed to be cardiac drugs for angina because they open up blood vessels. Well, it turns out they don't really do a whole lot for angina. They didn't work very well for that, but they do a pretty good job of helping older men have erections. So they've been sold now as erectile disorder drugs, and that's what they're now approved for is ED. But guess what? Tadalafil, the one that is most commonly used for ED, cuts the risk of prostate cancer in half. So I said, wow, seems to me that virtually every man should be on tadalafil to lower the risk of prostate cancer. True. It also lowers blood pressure. It also improves blood flow to your brain, and it improves blood flow to your muscles. So you get better exercise tolerance and you can work out more. Oh, yeah. And yeah, it also slows the growth of a large number of solid tumors and cancers like breast cancer, kidney cancers, and so on. So it's an anti-cancer drug, an anti-dementia drug, anti-prostate cancer drug, and the list goes on and on and on. And it also, helps cognition. So what the FDA approves it for the chemical doesn't know anything about the FDA, and it doesn't know what labels we put on it. The medication does what the medication does, and it's up to doctors to figure out how to use it best, not the FDA.
That's right.
Answer your question?
That, yes, that does answer most of my question.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jesse, for your call. We got to go to break. And we will be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine in a moment. Stay with us.